The Entrepreneurs Advocacy presents Street Smart Sales, a combination of personality recognition techniques and physiognomy, a science of communication techniques based on recognizing traits in one's face. The approach.
But everything that you can learn, I don't care what it is, will help you. I don't care if it's astrology, enneagrams, I don't care. You know, you want to know as much as you can about personalities, behavior patterns, communications, anything that you can do that will help you. But this is specifically to help you with personality style, because this is what helped me the most. I was in service side, you know, having people come to me to help them figure out how to fix things. And then when I went into sales, it was scary. I didn't want to be the person who had to knock on the door. I was terribly shy, didn't like it at all. But I convinced myself that I could help more people by being the first person in the door rather than waiting until they made a decision that wasn't right. So the company that I worked for had salespeople who were profession salespeople that they could take your pencil away from you and sell it back to you. They were that good. Right? So then I come along and I'm this terrible neophyte. No sales experience, didn't like salespeople because they always lied to get what they wanted. And that was my opinion. And I go in there and I start laying out things like cost justification proposals. And I ask people, what's the most important thing? And I kept hearing the words that they were using. And I kept going, wait a minute. This is the same as it was over at Varian. It was the same at Tab Plastics. The same at Saga Foods. And I'm going, wait a minute. There is a correlation. All of these people in this position are using the same words. And I began communicating the way they did, rather than as analytical, but I didn't know the terms at the time. And it wasn't until I sold the Uniglow franchises that somebody brought this in as a training session. That's what I've been doing anyway. But it was cool that it was labeled. So think about the easiest way to get where you both want to be, and it has to be a mutual decision. Okay? I don't think any of you could live with yourself to make somebody do a business decision that wasn't right for them. There are people out there like that, but none of you. And so it has to be a win-win, and that's what makes it so easy. So if you go to page 3, now the approach call, anyone here like approach calls? Mm-hmm. Initial calls.
Getting better at it.
Getting better?
Yeah.
Why do you like it, Michael?
I love prospecting. I enjoy, I make it a game. I turn it into a game. I do a lot of NLP work, which is mirroring, mimicking, and matching the person. I take on their persona. I take on their personality traits. I take on the way that they talk, the way that they speak, the length of the time they hold out their vowels, all of that. So every call for me is a chance to do something different, rather than just dow, 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 blah, 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 dow, 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 blah, blah, blah. I turn it into a game, and I make it, it's a challenge. Every call is a challenge. Can I get this person to stay on the phone, to not hang up on me? And I actually had one person, when I was prospecting for real estate, when I was doing real estate, who at the end of the call, she was hanging up the phone, I heard her say to whoever else was in the room, I wish all telemarketers were like that. And I was like, well, that's a pretty cool statement. and that's for me, that's what I want. I want to be able to take someone who, you know, I'm calling at a time that's probably not the best time to call, talking about something that they don't really want to talk about right now. So how can I get them engaged with me and keep them on the phone long enough to find out what really interests them so I can talk about that?
Perfect. Now, I never use the term cold call. When you cold call, you can expect a cold, indifferent response. When you approach someone to actually figure out how you can help them, it's a different attitude. And I love being able to figure out where people are, how they got there, what's going on in their life, and how I can make a positive difference. I mean, all of you have heard the terms, to no matter where you go, no matter who you leave them better than when you got there. Right? That's a creed that I live by. So every time you do anything in business, if you think about that, it has a huge impact on your approach. Because it's the difference between the puppy dog and the mountain lion. Right? If you think in sales, and all you know people who are mountain lions, pit bulls, you know, where they just sink their teeth in and they won't give up. You know, I usually will ask permission, you know, if I don't know someone, is this a good time to call? People who know me know that you don't answer the phone if you're busy doing something. You know, I've had people answer the phone, they'll say, you know, I'm really too busy to talk. And I'll say, well, why did you answer the phone? And that's a fair question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't tenderfoot around people anymore. I really don't, because I think that we're doing people a disservice by not being straightforward. If we don't tell people this is rude or you have spinach in your teeth, we're doing people a disservice. You know, so be more straightforward and encourage other people to be straightforward. So when you're doing approach calls, where do you find your leads, Michael?
Again, it depends on what I'm selling. When I was doing real estate, I would get the leads from. For now, where I find my leads, a lot of networking, a lot of relationship building, talking with, because my target client is a high net worth individual, someone that, we have 240 stores we're going to build the Obie's brand. I don't want to have 240 franchisees. I want to have 24 franchisees that all own 10 stores. So I'm looking at the high net worth individuals. Where am I going to find those CPAs, financial planners, people that are helping these individuals manage their cash? So a lot of my calls are with the source that will become the referral first, and then develop a relationship with them. I can then get referrals from that individual for the high net worth clients that they're working with, and now it's a warm call. Hey, Bob Smith, your CPA told me to call you.
Police, where do you get prospects from?
Just like, you know, face-to-face referrals, network meetings.
Robin?
Elite leads. Business mixers, trade shows.
Mostly networking referrals.
Yeah, you need to do some visibility things, though. You need to get out there and start having people recognize you.
Stephanie.
Esther?
Networking. Personal referrals.
And me.
Three trade shows.
Do all of you know, Zip 2 is the Yellow Pages online, and the link is on my website.
DABA.
There's no ending of resources, but if you focus on primarily the networking side, power partners, you'll be able to get a better response. Much easier to have a CPA, a banker, you know, somebody who's connected with other people. Third-party referral closes faster than any other resource that you have. So, you know, do that. It just helps cut your time in half. What is your ideal time to prospect?
When
8 in the morning?
When I'm up. So, when I'm up, well, you know, I'll make calls in the evening, but I'm usually working too. So, the ideal time would be during the day. If I reach during the day, it's much better interaction.
How's your ratio of reaching people during the day?
It's better than anything.
Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to get you to see. Now, my prime time is 9 to 11 and 1 to 3.
Hmm. You're calling it place of employment.
A business time. If you know what your prime times are, you can avoid those lulls. Like 2 weeks ago, I called on a Friday afternoon because almost everybody's at their desk on Friday afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person answered the phone. Was the first. So after half hour, I quit and did something else. I mean, it's like, why go through that exercise? Mm-hmm. So have you kept track of your ratios, the number of calls, the number of times people call you back? How many calls does it take you to actually talk to somebody, to close someone? Do you know what your ratio is? So it's really valuable to know what your ratio is, because if you know your ratio, you know how to control your income. So let's say your ratio is 1 in 20. You dial 20 people, you talk to 10, 5 are prospects, you follow through, and 2 actually come down and have a sit-down meeting with you, and 1 actually buys. So if you know your ratio is 1 in 20, and it takes you an hour to make 20 dials, that's average. and you know that you make $1,000 off of one sale, that means that after $20 you make $1,000. It does take you more time, but you can control your income by saying every day I do 20 dials, my average will be $1,000 a day.
For me, tracking, there's also a sense of accomplishing something, and I realized that I'd like that.
Yeah, I like the numbers. It's so important to have records. All of you use database? Please tell me yes.
What?
Database?
As far as
your business.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you using a database?
I'm using
Excel
right now.
You mean like Outlook?
Act is probably the one the most used. I'm not a fan of Act because you can't manipulate it as much as you can Filemaker Pro or Q&A, which is Act's big brother. I started out with Q&A, then I went to Filemaker Pro, then I went to Access, and now I'm using SQL, which is really complicated, and I wouldn't suggest it, but that's what allows me to put my database online so you can use it. Right? So that's why I did that a year ago. The thing that's great about the database, you can manipulate the information any way you want. So on Sunday, a couple of days ago, I'm not working on weekends anymore. I extracted from the whole database everybody I've talked to since January. Right, so the dials, how many people said they'd come to the meetings, how many people actually showed up, because I keep track of these things. These numbers are really vital to my success. And then how many people joined. So I like it that I see that every month I exceed my ratio of 1 in 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an incredible ratio. I've never done anything that has a ratio of 1 in 7. So it's really easy for me to figure out how to keep things in control that way. And then I analyze the information. So I'm looking at every meeting, my 19 meetings, how many people show up as guests, how many people attend, and how many leave. And I'm looking at that detail. I go, wait a minute, I'm seeing that there's a number, you know, 12, 12, 12, 4. What happened here? Then I have to go back and figure it out. So use the information to guide you to do things that are better. Where can you prospect? Like, are there other resources? San Francisco Business Times, East Bay Business Times. You know, news articles a lot of times will give you information about a new company coming in, a new person who's in management, somebody who might be retiring. You know, you look at this information, a company that's being laid off. I mean, you get tons of information in publications. And it's one of the reasons I hope all of you are getting at least the East Bay Business Times. I like having it come to my home because I will read it Saturday morning. So I sit down on my deck and have a cup of tea, and I'm reading through cover to cover. You know, what's going on in the business world in my community? And it really helps me stay on top of things. What's the difference between a suspect and a prospect, Brad?
Prospect wants to do business, suspect is what you
want. Can't make a decision. Kind of. Really, a suspect is just somebody you think you might want to do business with. But a prospect is someone you qualify. But you know there is a reason. Do you know what your ideal client is? So, Millie, you know, right?
Yes.
Define your ideal
client. It would be usually a senior who needs help applying for disability.
So you wouldn't be going to business meetings where seniors aren't going.
Right.
Right? So Chamber of Commerce is probably not a great place to get leads.
Yeah. Street fairs.
Right. They're not going to be out there walking around. So if you can pinpoint where your clients are going to be, it's much easier for you to hone in. Right? So
signs and the single word.
Do you know what's in it for you if you get an appointment? In other words, because you're making money, it isn't the money that's the issue, is it? Because you can do 100 things and make money. So what's in it for you? So you probably know.
was in it. I mean, well, when somebody becomes an owner, it changes their life. It's a wonderful experience.
Did you see the body language there? Right?
Yes.
So she is so involved with that process of getting someone on the beach in El Dorado, in the sun, walking on the sand, that's what makes it work for Rita. So when you understand how you connect heart-wise, and this is something really bizarre. When you think through a process, your brain actually projects 10 testosterones, units of energy. When your heart is in the process, it emits 50,000 testosterones, units of energy. So when you own a process from your heart, I love it, I'm passionate about it, you're going to have such a great time, you're projecting 50,000 units of energy compared to, when we do this, I think this is going to be a really good decision for you. So the logic doesn't work in sales. You have to own it and have the emotion to support it. Now, all of you do this whether you understand it or not. Someone walks into a room, you like them, you don't like them. There is no logical reason for you to make snap decisions like that. But you do, don't you? What you are reading is people's energy. When you are selling, people are reading your energy whether they acknowledge it or not. So you can't go into a sales situation desperate for money, angry about the traffic, frustrated because the website's down. You have to be 100% emotionally available and positive. And you have to project that. Because if you have any negativity in your energy, people start questioning, maybe it isn't such a good deal. Maybe I don't want to do business with them. Because just like little kids and dogs, they read that energy. Be aware of it. So one of the things that you can do is get one of Robin's oxygen tanks.
Cans,
yeah. And actually take 3 shots of oxygen before you walk in because it clears the fog, clears away the haziness. 3 deep belly breaths give you a totally clean point of view. Right? It's shooting oxygen to your brain. It gives you more circulation. Never walk into a face-to-face sales presentation without clearing whatever is going on out there and bringing an actual clean slate into the presentation. When you're doing cold calls, your approach calls, it's the same thing that you want to do. Nothing else is distracting you. If you have to, have nothing on your desk. If it helps, stand up. I have one client that actually has to pace. They cannot sit down and do approach calls sleeping. Doesn't matter what works for you. We have one person that they couldn't do approach calls unless that they did 10, they could get 10 hot tamales. I don't care what works for you, you know, but you find something that gives you the initiative to be able to do it with the right attitude.
I know that people sense that a lot, that we're at our trade shows, and since my husband works with me at the trade shows, we get a lot of comments about our energy and how good our energy is and how good we are together. And so people do sense that. You know, they sense the whole, I don't know, the atmosphere around you or something. It's kind of interesting.
Well, we actually project our energy. And one of the things, as a speaker, I have learned to project throughout the whole room. So when I'm in a room like this, I have to remember to bring my energy back because it can be overwhelming. So what motivates you? Sarah, what's your big motivation?
My motivation is... My motivation is to see... people happy with their investment. I mean, to see something work for them.
All right. So doesn't it come back to the amiable? I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to feel better. I want people to make decisions. So you look at people's reasons for motivation, and it really helps you understand how they think. So, wouldn't it be cool if you asked your clients, what's your biggest motivation to do this? Wouldn't that be a great question to ask them early on? So, Sarah, what if your motivation was people had more time? Right? So the logic is they're not messing around with equipment that's dying all the time. They would have more time. They could be more productive. See, so what you're doing is you're trying to adapt people to you, and what you want to do is adapt to them. And it really takes the pressure off of you. Right? Because drivers cannot be amiable. You just cannot fit that square peg in the round hole. It just won't work.
I'm going the other way.
You can. You can learn to do that. You can adapt. You know, you in sales, you develop a chameleon effect. That's what NLP is all about, is adapting to the environment, adapting to other people's communication styles, the mirroring, like Michael mentioned. Right? So when someone leans forward, you lean forward. When they have elongated enunciation over syllables, then you practice that. You know, you don't make it absolutely obvious by parroting everything that they're saying, but you need to do that. You need to learn how to communicate to make other people comfortable.
You don't mock them.
No.
You mimic them.
Mock them.
So, dealing with fear. Do any of you have fear, Sarah? Picking up the phone and calling someone you don't know.
I'm afraid of crying.
Do you have any fear of picking up the phone and calling someone you don't know?
Yes.
Okay. So, here's something that helped me greatly. I was doing a lead leap about 2 years, and someone came to a lead leap and joined, and 6 months later she said, you know, if you hadn't called me, I would have had to go get a job.
Mm-hmm.
That was motivation enough for me to start calling people. And before that, I would sit down to make my call and go, oh, I need a cup of tea. And I'd sit back down and make my call, and I didn't check the mail. And I'd sit back down, make my call, and oh, I need to call this person first. And then it was 5 o'clock. I didn't have to call. Too late. I would make up every excuse in the world, and then finally I would get down to Friday, and I'd go, oh my God, I don't even need to call. And I'd make myself drudge through it. And of course, my attitude stunk. But once I realized that when you're making a call, and you're getting somebody to see who you are and what you can do to help them, you're making their world better. Helping. It's a positive reflection. Not one of you is going to do something that isn't going to make the other person better. Isn't that cool? Without you, they're not going to be as well off. So it should make you excited when you call people. And make you more money, save you time, put you on the beach, make you financially successful, whatever it is. Own it. I used to put the sticky notes all over my monitor just to remind me all the reasons I needed to call people. Anything that helps. Do you use scripts at all? Anyone?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's my words that I developed, and it was essential
to me. The only danger in scripting, I don't think, can't. Right? So, never read the script, but know it. So, typically, we want to know 5 things about a lead, right? It's the who, what, when, where. Is it going to help? So come up with something that tells them immediately. When I call someone I don't know, do they care who I am? Do they care where I'm calling from? So when you call someone and you say, hi, this is Sharon Abbott from the Lead Leads Business Development, you just wasted 30 seconds of their time, and they don't care. Right, so what can you do that's different? What's a good opening statement?
for what I'm doing now, if I call in a CPA or a financial planner, I'll just come flat out and say, how many high net worth clients do you say that you're currently managing?
And do they usually tell you
who
you are?
No, they want to know why.
Right. Okay. But isn't the whole idea of doing a push call, get people talking to you, right? Get them out of their own head. Now, CPAs are the toughest people because they'll answer the phone in the middle of doing a spreadsheet. So where their mind is always in the numbers, right? So how do you get people to really pay attention to you? What's in it for them? Yeah, I'd love to talk to you about OBIs, some of the other CPAs who have recommended their clients who are doing franchising are now doing a lot more work with clients. You know, you can quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody wants to replace clients, so if you can create more work for someone, and they're pretty happy about it.
Do you know about the Cal CPA, by
the way? Cal CPA?
CalCPA.org. You need to go. It's a monthly meeting. What's a question, Brad, that you can use to find out whether somebody's a prospect versus a suspect?
Are you thinking about purchasing a house in the near future?
When's the last time you refinanced? Do you own your home? You ever thought about owning your home? Would it mean anything to you if you could gain $60,000 to $100,000 a year in equity in a home? As much as most people make? Lots of ways of turning a question into pre-qualifying someone. I have to say, I can't believe this. What can you say to build instant rapport and gain acceptance and still be genuine? Elise, what would you say? Well, this is the first time you've talked to someone.
Usually, I
kind of
tell them to find out what their life is like and what they're interested in.
Right, so be interested, not interesting. So you always want to find out what's going on in their life.
I call all over the country, so I always ask what the weather's like.
Immediately get them thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So most people think that when they're going to have someone sell something, that they're going to be convinced that they have to do something they don't want to. That they're going to spend money on something that they're not really interested in doing, which really shouldn't be at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the common perception. How do you find the right contact? Let's say you're working in a company, Estera. How would you find the right contact?
You don't necessarily want to talk to the CEO if he doesn't handle, or at least I do. I don't want to necessarily talk to the CEO if he has someone else managing his IT department or so.
You would typically want to handle somebody who's working with computer systems, right? So how do you find a person? Just ask.
Right.
Just ask.
Yeah.
See, and I think this is a really good example of how we all make things more complicated than they need to be. Right? So just go to the basics. So when I call a company, I'll usually say, who in your company does your marketing? Who's responsible for bringing in new business? Do you have a business development person? Do you have a sales manager? So, just ask. Now, the challenge is that a lot of companies are not answering their phones, right? It's all hidden behind voicemail. It's really tough. So you have to figure out ways of getting through that. The best way is to find a salesperson within that company. So start asking around, find somebody who is a salesperson within that company, and then ask them for a personal introduction. Salespeople are the most sympathetic, they're more helpful. Gatekeepers, anyone have challenges with gatekeepers? Kind of, no?
really? Just electronic ones with voicemails.
Right. Yeah, and not so much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Usually they can.
Right.
I think it's important that
we talk about tracking your results, and in the book you should have a sales tracking form under tools. Go back to the tools. Sales tools. Last, next to last. Yeah. Did is I developed something that technically you should be able to create in a spreadsheet, right? So if you were to analyze your activity for the month, now about 3 years ago I stopped putting everybody in my database. So and then I called everybody out that wasn't necessary. So originally when I started the first 8 years, everybody that I dialed went into my database. But that's how I tracked everything. Now what I do is I don't need to put the people in the database that I talk to. Mm-hmm. But what I did is use an Excel spreadsheet that goes Sacramento is T7, Territory 7. So every dial I make for Sacramento, the name and the phone number, or where I got the information, so that if something comes up, and it will, invariably it will, that somebody will call and a number will be dropped, right? So I can't get to the next number because I don't know how to find them. I'll go back to my original resource and there it is in the spreadsheet or the source where I got them from. So I actually create binders like this. You know, when I get the lead forms from everybody and I put 10 per page and I number page 1 through whatever, but for the area that I'm calling. So systems are phenomenal. So the cards that I collect go in the back. Mm-hmm. And when I get them for someone, like these are from Stu Pat, so when I dialogue, I put a check mark. When they call back and they agree to come to the group, I actually put the group number on the card. So I don't call people a second time. There's a lot of cards that Sue gave me. I don't even keep some of the cards anymore, but when she was giving me the cards originally, I keep every card she gave me because it might be a good resource for someone else. Now I just pitch them. I don't care. You know, this is just a half a year. This is just 6 months, just for the Silicon Valley. So these are just the leads I picked up for Silicon Valley only. These are the lead forms. So when I look at this and I see a check mark, that means that I've dialed them. So I can see the people, so these two out of this page agreed to come to a lead lead. But it's page one. So I can go back to the page one if I need to from the Excel spreadsheet and find the details. Right? So somebody said, well, how'd you get my name? I'm just go right back to page one and go, well, it came from David Bowen. Whatever system you can design to make it easier for you to follow up later on is going to save you a ton of time. So the systems are really important. I know people who don't use databases, and I think that they're really hurting themselves time-wise. If you can put the information electronically, I had somebody leave a message, and I couldn't get the name. So I searched three letters and I came up with like six results. I finally found the name that it sounded like on the return call. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you don't commit things electronically, you can't do that. You know, I might be using this, a chain directory, zip2, you know, tons of resources. I might be using a newspaper article. And if I don't put it down, I can't go back to it. So just figure out ways of helping you make the different progress in tracking what you're doing. And tracking is one of the best parts of actually the sales cycle. So I want you to think about between now and next month, Any of you using the sales journal?
Yes, I am. I really like that.
Thank you. Anyone else using the sales journal? Why do you like it, Rita?
But whenever I meet with a client or even go to a networking meeting, I'll make a note of it. And it just feels like I'm progressing. You know, I didn't do that with this particular professional referral. And it just gives me a memory to do it next time. I can see progress. I like taking time out to see the larger picture.
You'll learn more from what doesn't work. And by using a sales journal, you can refer to it. So if you track everything that you do, I still have stored in boxes, sales journals that go back 20 years. Now, I stopped doing sales journals about 5 years ago. It's kind of like, you know, I have success journals. Those I still do. And if you keep success journals, they're kind of cool, you know, because you can go back to them. So I have all these different ways, and I know most of you are not like this, but this is where the analytical stuff comes from. I have a journal of my successes. I have, every day, I get up and I say, this is something that I am bringing into my life. And every day, something happens. So, and it's just sometimes inconsequential. I mean, one day, I was thinking, I wonder if it really does make a difference if you put medium-grade gasoline in your car compared to the low-grade gasoline. You know, does it improve your gas mileage at all? Well, I went down to meet Nikki at a meeting, and she starts talking about how it improved her gas mileage by 4 miles to the gallon that day. It was the day that I asked for that. Well, then I did it for 6 months, and it made not one bit of difference at all in my car. Not one. So then I got my own answer. So, you know, if you just put things out there that you want, if you journal what's working for you, you get more of it. And it's amazing. I mean, I would even hesitate to tell you all the things that come my way just because I'm really clear where I'm going. So sales is not the means to support your lifestyle. It's a way of life. And attracting people into your life that you really want to work with.